Are you there,
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Hello. Welcome to our Thursday broadcast. We have none other than Apostle Alexander Lockamy. Again, that's Apostle Alexander Lockamy out of Irwin, North Carolina. We want to bring you a special greetings from the Fivefold Ministry broadcast, as well as the Burning Bush. And we want to take our time and just get a little update and interview from Apostle Lockamy. And we want to do something a little bit different. Are you there, Dad?
Yes.
God bless you. The last time that we spoke, you was giving us an update that you all was looking for some land for your church. Can you give us an update and tell us what's going on? Because we believe that God could do anything but fail. We believe in miracles. And as you have prayed for us, we know that the Lord is going to bless you. So can you tell us what's going on with the church?
Well, since we talked, the Lord have blessed us. The 3.2 acres of land, and we thank God. We have already had it approved and went to the committee and everything, and it's been approved that we, you know, can build a church on it, so we are good. We got the zoning changed. We got the zoning changed so that we could build a church on it. So, God, we're going forward now. Now we just thank God that he blessed us financially, to go to phase number two. So God have blessed us with it later.
Wow, so how many land is the church on?
3.2 acres.
I'm sorry, can you say it again?
3.2 acres.
Wow, congratulations to you. So you're going to build it from the ground up, huh?
Yes, we are, by the grace of God.
Oh, okay. And what will be the name of the church?
It will be the Burning Bush Non-Denominational Delivered Church.
Okay, and the building itself, the signaling, is that going to have a special name as well?
No, it'll just be the Burning Bush Church.
Okay, what kind of things will you have there? Will you have a Christian academy or?
Most likely, we right now we sort of on a, headed that way. We're planning on doing great things. You know, whatever the Lord put in our spirit to do, we expect to reach out to the neighborhood, reach out to people far and near.
Oh, okay. And for those who would like to give a donation towards the building of your church, can you give us that email address or your Cash App?
Yes, it's $ Burning Bush. Let me make sure of that so I won't be going the wrong way. Right now, maybe next broadcast, I have that taken care of, but we just got our Cash App for the church. So right now, that $ Pastor Lockamy.
Okay, so right now we could write it to Apostle Alexander Lockamy with the $?
No, Pastor, not Apostle. Pastor. $ Pastor Lund. Yes.
Okay, can you repeat it one more time? I got it wrong. I'm sorry.
$ Pastor Lockamy.
$ Pastor Lockamy.
Yeah.
Lockamy.
Yeah.
$ Pastor Lockamy. And for those of you who want to write a check towards the building of a church, which is non-denominational, and you can use it as a tax write-off, please send those donations to Break Ground. We are looking for a fabulous time. Have you all did the ribbon ceremony and cut the ribbon or burnt up the note?
Yes, we burnt the note too. Yes, we did. We go on the land and we took and burnt the note for the land. We paid for it. We burnt the note. Yes.
Well, congratulations. So the land is paid for. Now we're just going to build it from the ground up. What a great celebration. Say, upon this rock, I will build my church. Congratulations to you. And also, let me ask, how are things coming along with your family? I understand you have 20 grandkids.
Yes, I have 22 grandkids, and God is blessing me, doing great things. They're well, amen, and they just going to college, and one or two are going to college this year, and some already in college, and God is just blessing.
Did you say 22? I thought you had 20.
Well, 22.
Every time I listen, it's another increase. Truly, that is the seed of Abraham, as many stars in the sky. God is really blessing you. I'm telling
yeah.
you, you have 4 children and 22 grandkids. Good God.
Yes.
Woo-hoo. So how is the first lady doing?
She is fine. She is doing good.
Well, we send our love out to her. We're looking forward to coming down to Irwin, North Carolina, to a revival. Are you planning to have any services for the church, the Building Fund Church, so that maybe you could announce it for people who like to, especially those in Virginia that listen to you, like Reverend Rice and his wife? I know that they will be looking forward to coming down there to see you. So if you get
yeah.
a calendar and schedule, can you let us know?
We will attend. We intend this summer, maybe the fall of the year, when it cools down, we intend to go out on the land and have a Building Fund a day. Yeah, donations. Well, whoever want to come and be a donate to it, you know, and, you know, maybe have, you know, the air raffle for the kids and the cookout and hot dogs and hamburgers. And, you know, that would be just giving away everything, you know, with just, you know, for the kids that come out and play or whatever they want to do. But it'll be like a Building Fund donation day if folks want to donate.
Wow, did you hear that, radio audience? That we are going to Irwin, North Carolina, over 2 acres of land. There's going to be a cookout, something for the kids. We're going to have a good time. We're going to have outdoor services or just a fellowship, and everyone is welcome. With 2 acres of land, that should be enough right there, and especially for those that live in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and others in Virginia. We know that's closer to your neck of the woods, so we want to invite you to the Burning Bush with none other than the man of wisdom, Apostle Alexander Lockamy. Well, we got our update. We're going to turn it over to you because we know that God has given you a word for us, and we are looking forward to hearing it. I turn it over to you, sir. Amen.
Yeah. If God don't do nothing else, he been good to me. I said, if God don't do nothing else, he's been good to me. He picked me up and he turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I said, if God don't do nothing else for me, he's been good. I said, if God don't do nothing else for me, he's been good. I said, if God don't do nothing else for me, he's been good. He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on solid ground. I said, if God don't do nothing else for me, he's been good. I know somebody can be a witness of that. I said, if God don't do nothing else for me, he's been good. I said, if God don't do nothing else for me, he's been good. He picked me up. He turned me around. He placed my feet on higher ground. I said, if God don't do nothing else for me, he's been good. We thank God this afternoon. Isn't that a blessing in itself? We know how good God been to all of us. We're always talking about what we want God to do. But every now and then it's good to stop and say, God, I thank you for what you already done. Give God thanks for all what he already done. For truly he has made ways out of no way. He has solved problems and he's answered prayer. If it had not been for the Lord, we wouldn't even be here today. Look at the COVID having come along and took all these people. Look at how many lives of thousands and millions of people died from one state to another, from one country to another, and you still here. It ain't because you were better than them. It ain't because God loved you more than he loved him. It ain't because you done something special, had some kind of special prayer. It's God's grace and mercy that left you here. He left you here. He left you. God left you here. You need to get that in your spirit. That's enough to rejoice about. God left you here. Well, here we are blessed, highly favored. Half of the time we walk around with a frown on our face, like we don't have no joy, like we think God done died, like we think God done lost his ability to do what needs to be done. He's still God. He's still capable. He's still able. He's still more than enough. He's still a wonder worker. He's still a problem solver. He's still a mind regulator. I was singing a portion of the song, and I often sang. It encouraged me. I don't know about him, but I often sang this song. If God is dead, somebody tell me where body lies. If God is dead, somebody tell me where body lies. If God be dead, then just show me where body lies. Because I know he lived, he lived, he lived, he lived, he lived. I can feel it moving in the breeze. I can see it moving in the trees. I can see it moving in the night all over me. If God be dead, somebody show me where his body lies. If God be dead, somebody show me where his body lies. Well, if God be dead, somebody show me where his body lies. Because I know he lived. He lived, he lived, he lived, he lived. I can feel it moving in the breeze. Church, I can feel it moving in the trees. I can see it moving in the night. Yes, in the night, all over me. If God be dead. I'm so glad that God ain't dead. But I said, if it be dead, I want you to show me the cemetery. I want to see the tombstone. And that ain't going to be enough. I want to dig it up and see the deck. And you be playing game with me. If God did, I want to see him down in the day. I want to see him because I know he ain't dead. Oh, your God may be dead, but my God not dead. I know they say he didn't get up, but he got up on the third day morning, and he's not dead. Oh, that's a rumor over there in Jerusalem everywhere. The Bible said that was a lie they had told. They say that a disciple sold his body. He's still dead. But I want y'all to know, according to the scripture, he got up. And because he got up, I got up also. I know if Satan got you, make you feel like your God is dead, I come out of here and tell you, he ain't dead. Ain't no grave nowhere for nobody to show you. Don't even follow them. Don't even get in your car, go looking, because he ain't over there. He is not dead. He is sitting on the right hand for the Father right now in glory. So I just praise him. We do have a word this evening. Yes, we do. We have a word this evening from the word of God. Amen. Out of the book of Judges. Praise God. Out of the book of Judges, the 25th verse. Now, the other further verses that before then, it was talking about how that Delilah deceived Samson and how she called him to lay in her lap because he told her the truth. But the Bible said that it said that now that he knew that she told him her whole heart, she called in the leaders of the Philistines. She called in all those leaders because those leaders paid her to deceive him. The leaders paid her to find out where Samson's strength was. Now, Samson loved her, and he thought she loved him. And she said to Samson, if you love me, then tell me, Samson, where lie your strength? Now, you know the story if you read it. How did Samson kept telling her a lie, kept telling her that his strength was here and his strength was there. And every time that they would go and try to come in, said Samson, the Philistine coming. And then when the Philistine come in, Samson would get up and shake himself, and his strength would come. Well, this time she reached a point where she truly called him to yield. She called him to submit to her, because he loved her that much. She said, Samson, if you truly love me, how can you lie to me these three times where your shrink is? And Samson told her, my hair have never been cut. Oh, my, I'm getting excited about this already. My hair have never been cut. See, that's what's wrong with some of you out there. You done told your business. You done told the devil where your shrink is. Oh, my God, that there is a message in itself. You done messed around and told the devil where your shrink. See, baby, we talk too much. The Bible says, don't let the left hand know what the right hand doing. And we tell the devil where our strength is. And see, he told the latter where his strength was. He said, if you tie my hair together, and my God, and cut the locks of my hair, she said that I'll be weak like any other man. Now, the latter knew that that sounded mighty true. For the Bible says she now knew that what he said was true. And she called in the Philistines. They came in. She put him asleep on her lap. She put him, the man, he done gave up his secret. I then had the nerve and the audacity to sleep in her lap. I preached a sermon a long time ago, the danger of sleeping in the lap of Delilah. Oh, yeah, the danger of sleeping in the lap. This ain't the message for the night, but I just throwing it out there. The danger of sleeping in the lap of Delilah. And some of you are doing that right now. You're sleeping in Delilah's lap, but you'll find out when your hair gone. You'll find out when the anointing gone. Let me not get ahead of myself. Let me slow down. It's getting all excited here. Oh, so now she done laid in his lap, and she cuts his hair. She cuts a lot of the hair because we know from the beginning of the scripture or from the beginning of the book of Judges how that's what his glory was. That's what the anointing was. God would come down upon his head because God told him his hair would never be cut. He would never to drink strong wine, and he would never to eat nothing that was contaminated, nothing that would defile it. That was unclean. And to tell the truth, he did both of those. He drank wine. He ate honey out of a carcass, which was an unclean thing, because the lion was dead, so that made that lion unclean. And he took and ate honey out of the carcass, and he didn't tell his parents about it, though. But he did it. And whatever God told him not to do, Samson was hard-headed. Yes, Samson was anointed. How many know you can be anointed and hard-headed, too? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people right now just anointed they can be and hard-headed and rebellious. You're going to do things their way. God say one thing, they're going to do another. But, baby, there's a price of people being hard-headed. And Samson was hard-headed. He messed with it. First of all, he won't both have been messing with the ladder in the first place because the ladder was not of the children of the Philist, of the children of the Jews. And so the ladder was like an outcast. And she was from another nation. And she was among the children of Israel. And God plainly told them for them not to go outside their race to marry other ones. But Samson loved her more than he loved his own race. He always kept getting himself in trouble with the Philistine women. And he wanted her. Before then, he wanted another girl. And told his parents, told him he couldn't have him. He got all mad with them. So he got the pout, and they went and got the girl for him. So Samson kept getting himself in trouble because he was a hard-headed young man. But now, here it is. He done told the latter. He done told her all his heart. And when she saw that he did, she called him in. They cut his hair. Then they said, Samson, the Philistine coming. He jumped up, and shaked himself, but all his strength was gone. Yes, yes. I preached another sermon one time. You might write it down. The tree's still shaking, but the bird done gone. Now, we come up in the country where the birds set up in the trees, and there'd be so many of them, when they fly away, we'll make them fly, throw a rock at them or something like that, you know. And when they go out of the tree, there's so many of them, hundreds of them, that the tree's still shaking. They've been gone 5 minutes ago, and the tree's still shaking. See, that's what it is, baby. Listen, when you lose your anointing, you don't feel you lost your anointing. Am I talking to somebody? When you lose your anointing, you don't feel like you lost your anointing. You feel like everything's still all right. You're doing fine. You don't had that affair that night with somebody's husband, somebody's wife, or some girl, some boy you ain't married, and you done went to bed with them fornicating, and it don't look like ain't nothing happened. You feel all right, but in the morning, you're going to know. In the morning or 2 days or 3 days from me, you're going to know that the anointing is gone. It's a price, baby. It's a price to keep the anointing. You got to live right to keep the anointing. And without the anointing, you just beat the wind. It's because of the anointing that the yoke is broken and the burden lifted. You need the anointing, especially if you're a preacher, especially if you're an evangelist, especially if you're an apostle, especially if you're in the fivefold ministry.
You need the anointing because you can't break no yoke. This is the anointing going to break no yoke. You can't heal nobody. You can't regulate nobody's mind. You can't make nobody's eyes come open. You can't make the lame walk and the mute speak and the deaf to hear. It takes the anointing. That's why the scripture said, because of the anointing. It's the power of God. The anointing is the power of the Almighty God. It's like a police officer walking around, a police officer, and ain't got no gun. Huh? Ain't got no 44 Magnum or got no 38 or 44 or whatever they carry. He ain't got none. He a police, but he ain't got no gun. Ain't nobody scared of him because he ain't got no gun. Yeah, he got a uniform on, got that little old badge on his chest, but ain't nobody scared of him because he ain't got no weapon to defend himself. And when you ain't got the anointing, you ain't got no weapon, baby. Satan is not scared of you. Satan is not scared of no Christian that ain't got no anointing. You hear what I'm saying? It don't mean God won't protect you. It don't mean God won't forsake you. It's just that when you're fighting against evil forces, when you're fighting the devil, you need the anointing, baby, because you ain't got the power to break no anointing. You ain't got the power to break no yoke. It's the anointing that's going to break the yoke. It's the anointing that's going to heal that person's body when you pray for them. It's the anointing that's going to heal them from whatever amount of sickness or disease. So we want to talk this evening. So Samson have lost his anointing, and they put Samson inside of locked him up inside of a barn, more or less, like a shed, and he grinded. He grinded the corn. Other way, he walked around like an ox pulling that pole and grinding the corn. Back then, when they grind corn, they had a big old rock with a hole in it, and you put a pole in it, and you walk around, and as you walk, an ox walk around. As the ox walk around, it crushes the corn, and they pour it on the cement rock. But they got Samson doing it, and they laughing at it, and they picking at it. They realized they'd done a great thing, because Samson had killed a lot of the Philistines. One day, he killed 1,000. One day he killed 1,000 Philistines. The Bible said with the bone of a jackass. He knew at the end of the day he was so thirsty out he killed them that he was about to thirst to death. He said, "Now God, you done gave me all the power to kill all these 1,000 folks, and now I'm fit to die from thirst." And the Bible said water came out. Did you hear what I say? This is the power of God. This is what the anointing do. Water came out of that bone of that jackass, and he was holding it in his hand. It won't hook to no fountain. It won't hook to no stream. It won't hook to no kind of water source. Water came out of the jackass bone that he was holding in his hand, and he drank until he was full. Honey, if you only knew the power of God, if you only knew the power of God anointing, you wouldn't keep on playing. You need the reverend God anointing. You need to shield God anointing. You need to protect God anointing. Some of you playing game with God anointing because you lose it, you get it back. You lose it, you get it back. You lose it, you get it back. How about one time you lose it and you don't get it back? God anointing is precious, and you should value God anointing. Huh? Whenever you having an affair and you know you ain't married, you is not valuing God anointing. You saved. You've been born again. We don't live that way. You are showing disrespect to God anointing. When you're cheating with somebody, husband and wife, and know you married, you is defiling God anointing. You hear what I'm saying? You disrespecting God anointing. And just like he took it from them, he will take it from you. Because he said he dwells not in an unclean temple. That means he's not going to let his anointing stay in you and you live any kind of way. So now Samson got his hair cut. You hear what I'm saying? So my subject this evening is his hair grew back, and yours will too. Oh, my, you need to write that down right there. His hair grew back, and yours will too. Because some of you don't have your hair cut. Some of you done lost your anointing. Some of you just in the church. Some of you are just getting by. Some of you wonder why that you're a leader. You wonder why your membership ain't growing up. Why it look like they're going to sleep on you out there while you're preaching. It look like ain't nothing happening in your church and your membership ain't grew no more. And it look like folks are leaving because they saying this and they saying that. That's because you've lost the anointing. It's the anointing. Yes, you just ambassador for God. You just an instrument in God's hand. But it's the anointing that gets the glory. It's the anointing that heals the body. It's the anointing that draw people. He said, "I add the church such to be saved." If you say something, people will listen to you. Under the anointing that is. You got to get self out of the way. Then you got some people, it ain't that they ain't living nothing. It's just they got too much self in the ministry. They're taking too much glory. And God pulls his anointing back when you start taking on, let you know, it's me. I'm the one bless you. I'm the one calling the member to come. So what? People now have members coming, and they get to talking about, yeah, you need to come to this church because over here, baby, God is in every church that is living right. I ain't got to come to your church. How do you, and you ain't got to come to my church. God is in every church. So quit trying to make people feel like you doing something ain't nobody else doing. And that's been pig-headed. That's been proud. Like you said sometime over here. Oh, you if you ain't had nothing, you come over here. No, baby, God is everywhere. And if you, anything is happening over there, to God be the glory, you did not do it. You don't need to put no input in it on yourself, because it's God that did it. So now my subject is, his hair grew back, and yours will too. And the Bible said that, but they see what the mistake is, people will knock you down. People will cause you to lose your anointing. Uh-huh. People will cause you to lose out with God. But what they don't know, that God is a merciful God. God is a forgiving God. What did God tell Peter after Peter lied? What did he tell Peter? He, after Peter lied, told him, I don't know you, Lord. And they told Peter three times, he said, before the croc crow, you're going to lie and say you don't know me. And Peter said, I don't know. I don't know the man. And y'all know the story. But he told them to tell Peter. He said, when you are restored, strengthen your brethren. See, God is the forgiving God. God forgave Peter. Then he told Peter to strengthen his brethren. So now they failed to realize. Now listen to this. Does it make any sense? Now, if his strength was in his hair and you cut his hair off, wouldn't it make sense for you to keep a watch on his hair and keep him with a haircut so that his hair won't grow back? But they were ignorant about what they did. And they put Samson inside the grinding barn, inside at the shed, but didn't pay no attention that the hair they cut off is now growing back. And some of your hair is growing back now. I know people looking down on you. I know they remember the mistake you made, but don't you pay that no attention. God is the one that brings restoration. He's a forgiving God. He will restore. He'll give you back what the cankerworm has eaten and the locust destroyed. He will give you back your anointing. He'll give you back your reputation. I know what I'm talking about. He'll give you back your reputation. And when he give it back to you, you cherish it. You respect it. Don't let the devil, don't let some woman, don't let some man, don't somebody husband, somebody wife, don't some boy get you in that bed or some girl get you in that bed and know you ain't married to her and endanger your anointing. Disrespect your anointing, because you need that anointing in this ministry. If you're going to work for God, if you're going to stand in God's presence, if you're going to allow God to use you and you be successful, you're going to need the anointing. So now we see here that his hair is growing back. And they're having a party. And they went and sent for Samson. They wanted him to come now so they could pick at him and say, look what we did. This mighty man of valor. Look how he brought him out. She said, what Satan does. Satan will bring you down and then he'll laugh at you. Yeah, he was a great pastor. She was a great apostle. Oh, he was a great evangelist. Oh, look what happened. Uh-huh. Oh, and they'll laugh at what you did. But the Bible says love don't laugh. Love don't rejoice when wrong. But people will laugh at you when you fall. Yeah, he thought he was all there. Uh-huh. Look at him now. Look at him down on the bottom. He's through. But you ain't through until God say you're through. Get up. I'm telling somebody, get up. God is giving you anointing back. Get up. Your hair is growing back. Get up. I tell you, your hair is growing back. You hear what I'm saying? Samson's hair grew back. Your hair is going to grow back. The anointing was in your hair. Your hair is going to grow back. Keep an eye on your hair. Don't keep an eye on the mistake you made. Don't keep an eye on the shortcoming in your fault. Don't keep an eye on how they keep talking about you because you made a mistake and here you in a leadership position or you were serving the Lord and they calling you all kind of names. That's what they do. They call us names when we mess up. You know what I'm saying? They want us to mess up in the first place. They didn't want to say we're a hypocrite. We did, we that. But don't you pay attention to what they say. You keep your eyes on the Lord. So the Bible said now his hair is growing back. Ain't that nice? And they ain't paying no attention. They so drunk that they ain't even realize the mistake they made. And they took, they're drinking. And the Bible said that Samson killed more, that he killed more on that day than he killed all his lifetime. Because the lords of the Philistine that were there that day, all the presidents and governors, all the high leaders all over the Philistine, every leader of the Philistine, whatever nation and nationality was, they were there that day, parading themselves, picking at Samson, glad that he had been caught, glad that his eyes was out, glad that he was now no more threat to them, and had him tied all up. And then they brought him out to put him on a show. They brought him out. And the 25th verse said, and while they was in high spirit, they shouted. Judges 16:25-30. While they was in high spirit, they shouted out, Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them when they stood him among the pillars. Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Now, understand, that ain't what he did. That ain't what he wanted. He didn't tell the little boy that, because he wouldn't have never done that if he done that. Sometimes you have to be careful about what you tell people. Sometimes we talk too much, and that's how the enemy get an upper hand on us. We talk too much. We tell things we ought not tell. And then when we tell it, jealousy get in, and they'll do all they can to stop it, you know, to stop it from happening, to stop you from marrying that person that you done told them you're going to marry. You engage to them, and you're going to marry them. And they do all they can to stop you from getting married. All you can to stop that business from happening. And do all they can for you to find favor with that supervisor. Why? Because you said me and the supervisor, we get along real good. Now you done mess around and told too much. Now they're going to try to do something to bring a wedge between you and the supervisor. And the Bible said, now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. He was performing whatever they wanted him to do. They were watching him perform. 3,000 people now up on the building, leader, big dog. I mean, governors, well-known folk. Then Samson prayed to the Lord. So that, the 28th verse, so that, Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more. And let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. Now, you got to understand that his hair done grew back. So that means the anointing is back. They don't know that the anointing is back. And they had the audacity to bring him out to pick on him and let him stand between two pillars. Pillars that held up, these two pillars held up a building. 3,000 people, big dog, people that lead the nation, up there on the top of the building, got him down to laughing, throwing at him and laughing at him, calling him all kind of names. Then Samson, he already told the lad to take him and put him between the two beams that held up the building. The lad don't know that, so he done gone out of the way. So Samson's standing there between the two beams that hold up the building, and now he done prayed to God, and he asked God that God would give him, he wants God to give him the strength that he needs to tear the building down. Then Samson reached toward the two center pillars on which the temple stood, bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one, his left hand on the other. Then Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers, all of the people in it. Thus he killed many more than he died. And he killed a lot of people while he was living, but he killed more when he died. The temple fell down on everybody. Samson died, and all the rest of them died on top of that. But look what happened. His hair grew back. Yeah, God gave him back his anointing, even though it cost him his life. He didn't want to live because he didn't have no eyes. He didn't say, Lord, give me back the anointing so I can live. Even though I ain't got no eyes, I can walk around here. But no, he didn't want to live because all his hope of living was gone because they had took his eyes out. He said that I might avenge them for my eyes. And the Bible said the anointing came down. Do you know how powerful the anointing? If you knew how powerful the anointing was, you wouldn't lose it no more. You hear what I'm saying? See, I'm a witness. I know what it is to lose the anointing and get it back. To lose the anointing and get it back. To lose the anointing and get it back. But I made up my mind one day. I wasn't going to lose because when you lose the anointing, you've been anointed. It makes you feel bad. It makes you feel empty. It makes Satan start talking to you about you are nobody. Oh, God don't love you no more. Now you got to fight with that old statement Satan making. God don't love you no more. You ain't real. You ain't real. You're going to mess up again. You ain't going to stay in this thing. Oh, you'll fall again tomorrow. You'll fall again tomorrow. You'll backslide again tomorrow. You're going to mess up again tomorrow. Because I was serving the Lord in the flesh and not in the spirit. I didn't realize that God wanted to live right in me. He didn't want me to live right in myself. He wanted to live right in me. And see, nobody told me that. Here I was. I got saved trying to live right. I got saved trying to quit drinking liquor. I got saved trying to quit committing adultery. I got saved trying to quit smoking marijuana. I got saved trying to quit lying. With all the time God wanted to get in me. See, God, this thing is an inward thing. See, God ain't going, because if you got the ability to do it, you don't need God. See, I didn't realize that I was trying to do it myself. But the Bible said, greater is he that is in you, not he on top of you, on the outside of you. The Bible said, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. God wants you to let him on the inside of you so he can help you stop committing adultery, stop committing fornication, stop drinking wine and looking all the things. If he get inside you, he's the greater one. Now he can control your heart because he's on the inside of your heart. He right there nearby your heart. He where your heart is. He can control your heart. He can take out the evil desires. He can take out the evil lusts. He can take out the unclean things that are defiling you. That's what he can do. And give you the anointing. The anointing shields you. The anointing protects you. The anointing guides you. The anointing comforts you. The anointing gives you power over the weaknesses in your life. You hear what I'm saying? The anointing. See, when David went out and David fought, it wasn't David that killed 10,000. I know that's what they sang. I know that was the song they sang, but I'm trying to share with you. It was the anointing that helped David kill 10,000. You hear what I'm saying? It was the anointing. Saul lost his anointing. That's why only Saul killed 1,000. David killed 10,000. Saul lost his anointing because he disobeyed God. He was hard-headed. He was rebellious. And he lost his anointing, but David was anointed. All the days of his life, David said, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. All the days of my life. So David was anointed. And when David went out, baby, he anointed. They couldn't stick David with that sword. Back then, they didn't have guns. They had swords and knives and spears. And David was so anointed that the anointing didn't even let David get stuck. Didn't even let David get scarred. He didn't even get blistered. David went out and killed 10,000 and came back in like he won't nothing. He was a man of war. He was a man of valor. He was a man that was anointed. God was on his side. And he went out. God went before him. See, when you are anointed, the angels of the Lord go before you. The angels of the Lord will fight your battle. Many times when you get there, it's already done been fixed. You get it, I'm going to say this and I'm going to say that. God already done fixed it before you get there because you belong to him. You is his anointing. Why do you think he said, touch not my anointing? Do my prophet no harm. You are special to God. You are anointed. See, yes, listen, you quit judging who's anointed and who ain't anointed. That's God's job. That we spend so much time talking about who's anointed, she ain't real. Well, the Bible said if you say she ain't real, you judge your own self. You ain't real either. She ain't got no anointing. Well, you just judge your own self, saying you ain't got no anointing. That is not our job to sit around and segregate, sit around and dictate who's anointed and who's not anointed. God knows who's the anointed. For the scripture say, God knows those that are his. God knows. See, you might be messing up, putting your mouth on somebody because the way they preach or the way they talk or the way their ministry do. Tell me, that ain't the Lord. Cause God wouldn't do what you know what God won't do. Just because you didn't do it. Just because you didn't have the ability or the audacity to do the ministry the way they did it, you want to judge them because they didn't do it like you. That's what the disciple did because everybody won't fall in them. They told the Lord, they some over here preaching in your name and prophesying in your name. God said, they're thinking Jesus is going to agree with them. Jesus will lead them along. For I got sheets of other flow. Mind your business. I got some people of another foe. Everybody ain't in your foe. Everybody ain't in your church. Everybody don't go to your prayer meeting. Huh? And if I don't go to your church, don't make your church no better than me. So what your church say holiness? My church might not say holiness, but it's holy. Your name don't make your church no better than nobody else. Your name is just a name that you put there. I don't know why you put holiness on your church. No way. Everybody know your church supposed to be holy. I ain't got to put holiness on my church. Everybody should know I'm holy. If I'm serving the God, if I'm in the Bible, I'm supposed to be holy. I don't put no name on there because you don't see name holiness on my church. Now we got the holy church. And yeah, the holy church want to make sure they're holy. And then when you go by there, if it don't say holy, then it ain't church. You ain't in the church if you ain't in the holy church. I done met with so much contradiction. I done had so much a misunderstanding and so much confusion and so much debate with these folks going around about the name of the church, Seventh-day Adventist, the Church of God of Prophecy, the Mormon of the Latter-day Saint. Oh, yeah, I done had, my God, I done had all this stuff. Tell me, they seen Jesus over there, and Jesus came down and talked to these people in another land. Baby, the Bible do not lie. Can I share something with you? You better quit letting people lie to you. Tell me, Jesus came to this cluster of people. The morning they say he talked them this, and he talked them that. But let me share something with you. The scripture said that Jesus ascended back to heaven, and he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, and he ain't coming back no more till he get ready to wrap the church. Now, how Jesus went over there and taught all them people when he went to heaven, he told them, you stir on me. You that stir on me, he say. The angel said, why you stir on this man? The same Jesus that you saying go up, you're going to see him come back one day in like manner, and he's going to wrap the church. Now, somebody got some false information somewhere where they said Jesus went over here teaching in another land when the scripture said that he went up to glory and sat on the right hand of the Father. Now, which did he do? I'm going to believe the latter. He went up to heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. You hear what I'm saying? And then we get caught up with these denominations. The First Baptist, the Second Baptist, the Third Baptist, the Original Baptist, the Yesterday Baptist, and the Tomorrow Baptist. It ain't nothing wrong with having a name, but you don't need to get so personal that you want to go to court because somebody got your name. You want to go and carry somebody to court because they got your name and they got your pattern and you didn't give them permission to get that name. The Bible said do not carry your brother in this court. We are not to carry our brother. I said our brother. We're talking about brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are not to carry. I ain't talking about somebody out there unsaved acting all crazy. He said we are not to carry our brother in the church, brother and sister. The Bible said we should be able to solve that problem ourselves because we're going to judge angels one day. Now, we're going to judge angels one day. Ought we not be able to sit down and solve this little bit of problem? You know what I'm saying? Other words, I ain't going to let no couch and no refrigerator and no bedroom suit make me and you break up. I'm going to let you have that bedroom suit and have that couch and the piano, too, if you want it, and I'm going to be your brother and sister. I'm going to stand before God with that in the blood on my hand. I ain't going to fall out with you over the material thing. So many material things have broke people up. You hear what I'm saying? I broke up homes and family. And especially at funerals, when mama left dead and daddy left dead, and mama left me this and daddy left me dead, and you break up relationship, and you're going to be saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and five after, keep that couch, keep that bedroom, so keep them kitchens. I don't care if they wood gold. It ain't real gold nowhere. That's coated gold. I ain't fit to let my relationship with you. I love you more than I do the material thing. I love you more than that couch. I love you more than that three-room bedroom suit. I love you more than that land. I don't care if it was 1,000 acres of land. I love you more than that 1,000-acre land that mama gave you. I ain't going to get mad at mama. I ain't going to get mad at you. If she didn't leave me no land, I'm going to still be happy. I'm going to still get up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. God is giving somebody back your anointing. You lost your anointing. Yeah, you lost. You wonder what's going on. The Bible just humble yourself. Acknowledge to the Lord that you done messed up, and God will give you back. Do like Samson just did. He realized he was wrong. He said, God, give me back my anointing. Give me back my strength. That's the prayer he prayed, Lord, anoint me again, but not so I can live, but I can avenge my adversary. You hear what I'm saying? So how about it? His hair grew back. Your hair going to grow back, too. Your hair going to grow back, too. God wants your hair to go back because your anointing is in your hair. God got his anointing upon you. But this is a spiritual thing I'm talking about. Your spiritual hair going to grow back. You hear me? David fell, but look what God did. David fell. He messed up. He messed up with Uriah's wife. He messed up, and then he ended up losing his son. But look what God did. God restored him and gave him a baby. Now, listen now. God took the baby that he had and then turned around and gave him the wisest son there is in the world, Solomon. God will restore you. He want to restore somebody right now. You done lost your anointing. You don't sing no more in the choir. You don't usher no more at the usher door. You don't participate in the church because you messed up, you did something, and somebody know about it, and they don't want to let you run. Baby, get back in church if you got to go to another church. Get back in church. You ain't your church ain't the only church in the world. If they ain't going to see you, if they're going to look down on you, if they're going to keep reminding you of the mistake you made, that affair you had, that baby you had out of wedlock, that man you slept with and you shouldn't have, and you been a Christian girl, honey, forget God to forgive you. Put that mess behind you and let God give you back the anointing. Let him re-anoint you. Let him anoint you all over again. God do not hold grudges. The Bible said he's slow to anger and he's quick in mercy. He's quick to love you. You picking on your own self. You letting others make you look down on yourself. You letting others remind you. You letting others remind you of the mistake you made. We all done made mistakes. We all done sinned. We all done come short of the glory of God. Cover that anointing. I encourage you, besides the new radio friends, if you feel God present, if God have anointed you, cover that anointing. Resist that devil. Put him behind you. Quit letting him steal your anointing. Uh-huh. And Juanita Biden said a long time ago, no more sheep, because the sheep kept stealing her anointing. No more sheep. Make up your mind, no more sheep. Quit letting these little silly men trick you. Quit letting these little silly men tell you they're going to give you the moon. How they going to give you the moon and the moon ain't in day? You ought to know better than that in the first place. How I'm going to give you the moon when the moon ain't in mine? And by the way, he done gave the moon to everybody else, and it still ain't his. And here you is going to fall for that little old line of his. I love you. I love you. Baby, if he love you, he won't love no other girl. You hear me? If that boyfriend love you, he will not love no girl. And then he make you lose out with God. Here you feeling so bad sitting home, can't even sing in the choir. Don't even know how to show up at church because you feel bad. You feel dirty. You feel unclean because the anointing is gone. But when you get your anointing back this time, cherish your anointing. Keep your anointing. Tell God to forgive you for having that baby out of wedlock. Tell God to forgive you for having that affair with somebody's husband and somebody's wife. Tell God to forgive you for having an affair with that person and y'all won't marry. And you know you saved and sanctified, Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. Tell God to forgive you. Give you another chance. Your hair will grow back. Just like Samson's hair grow back. I come by the encouragement. Samson's hair grew back and yours will grow back too. Is anybody in the house? God wants your hair to grow back. He wants to give you back the anointing because he realized that it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. There's power in the anointing. Oh, my God. There's power in the anointing. And God wants you to walk in that anointing. You hear me? Samson was hard-headed. Let's talk about it. He was hard-headed. And if you be hard-headed, my daddy used to say, if you make your bed hard, you're going to have to lay on it. Beretta used to say a long time ago, he was a cop, and some of you might know the show. Beretta would say, if you don't want to do the time, don't do the crime. That's the same way he did with sin. You don't want to lose your anointing, you don't play around with sin, because sin will take your anointing. Sin will make you lose out with God. You'll be walking around here like that tree had all the birds in it. You'll be thinking you got something, and you ain't got nothing. The birds done flew away, and you still there shaking. Uh-huh. Because you still speaking in tongues, you think it's okay. You hear me? Because your lips still jumping a little bit, you think it's okay. But it ain't okay because you have defiled yourself. You have lived so that God can't live on the inside of you. And if God can't live on the inside of you, God can't use you. You're on dangerous ground. So reverence your anointing. Reverence the presence of God. Praise God for his anointing. Cover your anointing. Stay away from unclean, unfiled things. Come out from among them. Listen to what the scripture says. Come out from among them. You can't be anointed and stay with them. Oh, I should say that again. You can't stay anointed and stay with them. Who is them? Them that you were with before you got saved. Them that you were with out at the club. Them that you were dancing in the nightlight. Them that you hung around before you got born again. You can't hang around them no more. Because you say you've been born again. You got to come out from among them. When you were with them, you were not only doing unclean things, you were touching unclean things. You allowed unclean things to touch you. When you allow them men to touch you and you're supposed to be anointed, that's unclean. Once they put their hands on you in a sexual way, they made you unclean in the eye of God. God said, come out from us. Shout out, bull, come out from among them and be ye separate, said the Lord. And quit letting the little boy defile you, baby. Your anointing is more impressive. They don't care nothing about your anointing. They don't care nothing about your anointing. They're telling a little lie today. Make like they appreciate you, a little Christian girl. But God ain't going to say nothing. He understands that you got needs. Baby, you better keep your needs to yourself and keep your anointing. That little boy lied to you. He'll lie to you right out of your anointing. Then he'll go and lie to another girl and do another girl and another girl and tell them all the same thing. And now you're all sitting around without an anointing. Now all that fasting you've been doing, look at all that praying you've been doing, look at all the revival you've been going to, and now you done lost your anointing because you let Satan come through somebody to try to make you feel good by using persuaded words of theirs. And next thing you know, you're under the sheet. Reverence your body. Protect your body. Cover your body. Respect your body. so God can anoint you. He got great things in store for you. God got gifts that you ain't seen yet, callings that you ain't walked in yet. God want to take you to higher heights and deeper depths. He wants you to forget those things that are behind, the mistakes you done made, and reach forward to the things that are before. Present to the mark of a prize of a higher calling in Christ. There are higher things in God that God want you to do. Look how God is blessed and wanting to buy them. Why? Because she said she let go of the sheep. She quit. She kept. She stopped fulfilling the lust of the flesh and started fulfilling the spirit. And look what God has done for her. She's a great leader, a great speaker. She wanted to have been over the nations. She's been in the other countries many times. Worldwide famous evangelist, prophetess, well-known, well-seasoned, because she sold out not to go under the sheep, but to go under the shelter of the arms of God. How high do you want to go? That choice is yours. How high do you want to go in God? Huh? Because as you sell the anointing, you go to higher, you go higher, you're higher. But when you're in the day or out tomorrow, in the day and out tomorrow, in the day, you don't go nowhere. So I come out to tell you, your hair growing back. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on your head. Keep an eye on your spiritual head. Your hair is going to grow back. And as it grow back, you remember to cherish it, to protect it, to keep it, not let the enemy come in with his cunningness. The Bible said he come to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan, that's Satan's job every day. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. But God came that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. I encourage somebody this evening, whether you're an apostle or prophet, I pray right now that God will restore your anointing. You apostles, I pray God will restore your anointing. Because, see, when you lose the anointing, people don't want to hear you. When you lose the anointing, you lose your season. Uh-huh. When you lose the anointing, you lose your reputation. When you lose the anointing, you lose your character. You lose that drawing power that draws people. That's why the Bible says a little leaven, hold up. The Bible says season. When you lose the season, the Bible says salt that is not seasoned is good for nothing. If you pour water on salt and get the season out of it, the salt ain't no more good. When you go out there and do that, then you ain't no for good for God at that moment because you done lost your Savior. Precious Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus because for all the leaders, all your anointed one, God, your apostles and prophets and teachers and evangelists and preachers, the fivefold ministry first, God, I pray that you will give a fresh anointing upon us, that you will restore the anointing just like you did Samson, Lord. His hair grew back. Let their hair grow back, God, in the name of Jesus. Let their hair grow back. Put behind them the former thing, the mistake that they made, God, and that they might look into the hill with coming their help. Know all their help coming from the Lord. I ask you to restore them, forgive them, no matter what the mistake was, God, whether it's known by the public or others or just known by you. Forgive them, God, and wash them in the blood, God, in the name of Jesus. Make them accepted in the beloved, and then put your anointing make upon them greater than it was before they lost it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Put it back upon them. Samson tore the building down, God, but I want you to put the anointing back upon your apostles and evangelists and pastors and preachers and teachers. I want you to put your anointing back upon them that they can tear down the kingdom of Satan. Uh-huh. That they can tear down the kingdom of Satan. That they can, their eyes will come open. Uh-huh. That the lame will walk. That the mute will speak. That the deaf will hear. That people get up out the wheelchair, God. That cancer be dried up, God. You say these signs will follow them that believe. Because the anointing behind them, God. It's the anointing that break the yoke. These signs, you said, they shall cast out unclean spirit. They shall speak with other tongues as the spirit give it utterance. And God, I pray now for the radio world, whether they are evangelists or prophets or whatever, they've been born again that love you, God. I come against every force of darkness. I come against all witchcraft. Somebody seem like you can't get well because feel like somebody worked a spell on you. You feel like that root working or soothsaying or some warlock have worked a spell on you. Somebody that went to a promise and they don't read against you and they call them bad spirits. But I bind up those spirits. I bind up every demon. I bind up every devil. I bind up every witch. I bind up every warlock. I bind up every unclean spirit. I bind up every evil word that has been spoken against your body from against your spirit. And I command that sickness that don't want to go nowhere. The doctor don't even understand. The doctor said it is strange. The doctor said that this is not familiar. This is not normal. But I come against normality. I come against that normality. I come against that is not normal. I come against that spell that has been spoken, God. In the name of Jesus, I know evil is out there, God. And I know that the devil is mighty. But I know that you are almighty. You're more powerful than the devil is. You're more powerful than the witch. You're more powerful than the warlock. You're more powerful than the soothsayer. You're more powerful than the dust doer. You're more powerful than any evil words spoken against your people. I bind up sickness, Lord. They've been there for a long time. I command healing to take place right now. Healing in the bloodstream. Healing in the blood sugar. Healing in the blood pressure. Healing, God, in the prostate. Healing in the colon. Healing in the womb. Healing in the breast. Healing in the blood cell, white and red. Healing in the liver. Healing in the appendix. Healing in the close places, all in the jam. Healing in the brain. Healing in the eyes. Healing over all tumors. Healing over all cancer cells. I bind it up now in the name of Jesus. And I command that they be healed, God. That the doctor will be amazed. That the doctor will be astonished. That they'll heal, God. I've been sick for so long. I command healing. You give me the power of authority. You give me the power to decree a thing. And I command that the radio world, whoever they may be, nobody told me that they were sick. But I bind up all sickness and all disease. Psalm 103:3. Say, you the God that forgiveth all our iniquity and heal all our disease. And according to your word, I command the radio world to be healed. I command the radio world to be made whole. I don't care whether in this country or another country, this state or another state. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care how many times what prescriptions are sitting on their dresser. By your stripes, they are healed. Isaiah 53:5 says, you've been wounded for their transgression, bruised for their iniquity, chastisement, your peace was upon them, and by your stripes, they already healed. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for making whole. Thank you for loosing the devil from his assignment, oh God. Thank you for letting their hair grow back, God. Thank you for giving them back their anointing, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Some of them lost their joy. Thank you for giving their joy back, God. Thank you for the fire back on their face and a praise on their lips. Thank you for just being God right by yourself. Thank you for showing yourself mighty to this radio world, God. And if we will ever give you praise, God, let them not be the same out of the day. And the glory, the honor, and the praise shall be thine. And God, let your goodness run out to them. In Jesus' name, amen.